Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Let's turn, please, to the Gospel of Mark. Mark's Gospel, and we're looking at chapter 4. We're starting another parable today, and as much as in us lies, we'll try to follow a chronological order, that is, somewhat close to the order in which the Savior spoke these parables. As you can see, we're near the beginning of the Gospel of Mark, so this is a parable that would have occurred early in the Savior's ministry. We're reading from verse 1 of chapter 4 of Mark. And he began to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and it yielded fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. So here we have what we may well call one of the best known of the parables. And I'd like to spend a little time around this particular parable. It's a lovely parable. Now, before we get into what it is exactly the Savior said, there are things we can learn just from the introduction that's given us here. And if God hadn't meant us to learn from the introduction, he wouldn't have given it. The Bible says that every word of God is good. And that includes verses 1 and verses 2 of this chapter, where we are told the circumstances in which the parable was declared by the Savior. And as I looked at it, and noticed how that we're told that there was a great multitude, and they were by the seaside. And the Lord did something that at first seemed a little strange. He got into a boat, and probably pushed the boat out a bit from the land, so that he was visible to everybody. If he had been close up to the crowd, those who were standing back, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 10 rows back, they couldn't see him. So he got into a fishing boat, pushed the boat out, and everybody could see him. But something else, everybody would have been able to hear him. And the reason for that is, and I want you to notice this, the Lord Jesus makes use here of the power of water to magnify the voice. I was looking this up. I knew this was the case, though I wasn't quite sure why it should be the case. But it's a scientific fact that noise travels over water far, 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 far better than it does over the land. And apparently the reason for it, and I hope I have this right, is that the air at the water's level, down close to the water, is cooler than the air above. And because of that, the sound waves are somewhat suppressed and kept low. They don't spread out all over the place and thus become weakened. Instead, they are somewhat suppressed and kept low by the colder air. And it is just a fact that water magnifies, if I might use that word, the sound of the voice. I remember we lived many years ago down on the Loch Shore, far side of Enniskillen, in a place called Drumcrow East. And oftentimes I used to be down at the edge of the loch. It was nice to go down. And people across the loch, and it was very broad, and it was approximately on the opposite side from Kesh, and you could hear people talk all that way away. And men, sometimes out on the boat, maybe a mile away, out on a boat, fishing, talking to themselves, just conversing. They wouldn't have been shouting at each other in a boat, just conversing, and you could have heard every word. In fact, at times you sort of got startled because it appeared the voices were so close. Where are these people? Well, in actual fact, they were a long, long distance away. And the Saviour, therefore, who, after all, is the Creator, and he was well aware of the powers that were built into the creation, for he put them there. He's making use of the power of water to magnify his voice. He probably could have gone in the opposite direction and gone inland a little and got up on a hill, and the people could have seen him, but his voice wouldn't have carried just so far. So he's making use of the power of the water. And you know, there's a lesson there for us, and that is we should make use of every means of sounding out the Word of God. We should make use of every means of sounding out the Word of God. We record what we're saying here today. And I think I wouldn't be out of order were I to say that just a couple of days ago, I got a nice letter from a lady in New Zealand who has been playing the morning assembly talks and listening with her daughter. And isn't it wonderful that someone as far away as New Zealand can join us here in Kilskerry as we gather around the Word of God? And there are many other means. The Free Presbyterian Church has its own radio ministry. I do believe it's even started video broadcasts, and thus modern methods employing the powers that are within creation, put there by God. We are employing them to advance the cause of the Lord Jesus and cause men and women to hear his word, just like the Savior here, just like the Savior. Oh, what an example he is. What an example he is. In school, you can learn many things about the power of creation, about creation itself, about what God has wrought within the great complex system by which the world revolves. And we can learn about the powers, we can learn about the truths, we can learn what God has built into creation, and in learning that, we can make use of those things for the good of others. Then, and this is an important thing, I want you to notice that he begins the parable and ends the parable with one word, and it's an important one. Verse 3, hearken! Then at the end, verse 9, hear! And although our translators have used two English words, they are in the Greek the same word. So the Savior, at the beginning of his parable, calls on people to listen. And at the end, he says, if I may put it like this, are you still listening? The Lord needs us to listen, wants us to listen, desires us to listen, commands us to listen to his word, because, listen to me, that's how you benefit from the word of God. That's how you benefit from the word of God, by listening. You all had breakfast this morning. I hope it was a good hearty one. Mum set it down on the table. You sat down. It would have done you no good to look at it. That wouldn't have done anything for your hunger. That wouldn't have strengthened your body. It would have done you no good if you stuck your nose over and sniffed the aroma that was arising from the breakfast. Might have been nice, but it wouldn't have imparted any strength to you. You had to open your mouth and put it in and chew it up and swallow it. That is how the food became useful to you, and you benefited from it. Well, in the same way, the Word of God has to be taken in, into our mind, into our hearts. And that happens by us listening. Us listening. So the Savior says, hearken, hear. It's an echo of what Isaiah had said hundreds of years before.
Hear, and your soul shall live.
Hear, and your soul shall live.
The preaching of the gospel imparts life to those who hear.
To those who hear.
That's why we're so anxious that you pay attention. That's why we are ever anxious that you listen, and that you don't fiddle, but that you listen with your ears and take in. Take in what God is saying to you,
because those words of God bring with them life if you believe upon them. So he begins the parable, and he ends this little discourse with the word hearken or hear. Then I want you to notice something else.
In this parable, the Lord Jesus employs a very common event to illustrate the gospel. Now, things have changed somewhat in the countryside to what they were when I was young. And perhaps sowing seed in a field is not so commonly seen as once it was. One of the reasons is, of course, that a man can fill up the sower on the back of his tractor, drive round the field, and he has it all done in a matter of minutes, virtually. Whereas, I can remember as a boy walking beside my father, and he had what they called a fiddle sower. And it was a sower that you held in your hand, and it looked a wee bit like a violin. And there was a hopper, a container set above it, and there was a bow. And it was a little contraption that, by the use of a string, wound round a wheel at the bottom of the container, and as you pulled it back and forward, it turned a little wheel through which the seed came out, and it threw the seed out. And as you walked, just back and forward, up and down the field, and it looked as if you were out there playing a fiddle. But you were sowing seed. You were sowing seed. And of course I was there as a youngster, and you can guess what I was saying. Just what you boys would be saying. Can I have a go? Can I have a go? That's what I would have been saying. But my father said no, because the seed had to be sown evenly. Couldn't be sown in big clumps and so forth, and I couldn't stop as I would have done as a young lad, for I've been too small really to handle it. But that's how it happened. Now that took a lot longer than the tractor buzzing around the field sowing the seed in minutes. And that took some hours to do. And therefore, more people would have seen it happening. It would have been more obvious. Today a tractor goes round the field and you wouldn't look at it twice as you pass by. Just a tractor. But it's sowing the seed. In the days of Israel, I don't know if they had what we call the fiddle sower. I'd be more inclined to think that they would have just had a container and they would have scattered the seed by hand. Just as good, just as effective, but much slower. Much slower. And the sower would have walked the length of the field sowing and then moved over to the edge of where his seed had been scattered. Maybe moved a bit further and started again. And so he nicely covered the field with seed. And everybody in that crowd, right down to the smallest child, I'm sure, knew what he was talking about. When he began to talk about a sower, they knew what he was talking about. They had seen it happening. And into their mind would flash that picture.
And they understood the Lord. Oh, there's a lesson here for preachers. There's a lesson here for me.
It's no good speaking if the people don't understand what it is you're talking about.
I always remember an old caretaker in a Presbyterian church just outside of Belfast, up in the Castlereagh Hills. Now, the church he belonged to didn't really preach the gospel, and I don't think he would have had much interest in the gospel. But he was talking about the sermon the week before.
He says the minister took as his subject the word wonder. He spoke for a while on the subject of wonder.
And the man says, I'm still wondering what he was talking about. Now, that's not a very effective way to preach, if you leave your people wondering what you're talking about.
I don't think there would have been much wondering about what it is the Savior was talking about. He was illustrating the gospel through the parable here of the sower.
And there are points that I'd like to make on that, but time's gone, and so I leave it until I'm back with you again on Thursday. But I want you to think about what it is the
Savior is illustrating. And I want you to try and pick out from this parable some wonderful truths. Him using this image, this picture of a sower, that in itself teaches us something. I'll give you something to start with. This world in which we live has been so created as to illustrate the gospel. It's as if God produced two books. One, this Bible, to set forth the truth, and then another book, that book out there, in which he drew all sorts of illustrations to illustrate the truth that sets forth in the Bible. We'll look at that and other things that are linked to the setting forth of this parable and the Savior using the story of the sower to illustrate his truth. May the Lord bless you. Let's bow together, please, in prayer. O God, our Heavenly Father, we marvel at the wisdom, we marvel at the wondrous simplicity by which thou hast set forth the truth. There is no excuse for any one of us failing to understand what it is God is saying. O Lord, our problem arises in that we don't hearken. We don't listen. We allow our minds to wander. We allow other things to fill our thoughts. And we don't listen to God's word. Lord, deliver us from that. And may we grasp, as it were, with both hands, the truth of God. Bless the school today. We commit it to thee and pray that your hand will be upon us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.